know that I have a friend that comes out and preaches for us every October. His name is Brian Lowry. And he and I were speaking about a month or so ago, and he said, "Do you know what I really love about your church?" He says, "Your church are listeners." He says, "It's pretty evident whenever I come to preach that they are following along, they're in the text, they are actually listening to what I have to preach from God's word." And I say this not to make anyone nervous and point out that we can see everything that happens out there, but more so to serve as an introduction to our guest today, so that in a lot of ways I can introduce the church to you, Mark. And so I'd also like to tell you what I know about Mark. He has spoken for us. I believe this is his third visit here since I've been here, perhaps his fourth, but I believe it's his third. And one of the things that I have noticed is that Mark speaks with an intensity. He speaks with conviction. He is often a fast talker, but he is not a salesman. He is somebody who, when he says the phrase, "the Lord," he is speaking about somebody that he knows. He's speaking about somebody that he submits to. And so it is truly my honor to introduce him to you as our preacher this morning. If you'd like to open up your Bible to Romans chapter 1, that is where he will be preaching from. And I'm going to ask God's blessing on his time. Thank you, God, that we have an opportunity to hear your word, and that we have an opportunity to hear it from another one of your servants. It is very encouraging to us to hear how you are at work, not just here in our community, but throughout the world, and how you use people from various backgrounds for your purposes. And so, God, I pray for your blessing right now as we look to you to teach us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would take your word that is living and active and make us alive and make us active through it. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.
I can stay down here.
Whatever you want to do.
Okay. I might want to move a little bit. And I doodled it out here a little bit. Thank you for coming out this morning. Thank you for allowing myself and Helen to present to you today the message. But also, thank you for being a part of us and our work to in the country of Zimbabwe. Simba Pisarai wants to say thank you, who is our head partner in crime in Zimbabwe. And he always says, "Mark, please tell the people that we are grateful African people. We are not people always with our hands out, as is portrayed so often about us. We have our hands to the plow too, and we have our hands to the plow because of you." And so thank you for allowing Simba and all of us to be able to be a part of the gospel, taking the gospel around the world today. So today I would like for you to listen to just some words, this sentence or phrase, "Lord, help me in the moment to live out what you have for me today." Lord, help me in the moment to live out what you have for me today. Keep that in your mind as we, and I'll use it time and time again as we go through. I have found that sometimes phrases, you keep bringing those phrases home, and if you remember anything, you'll remember that in relationship to what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about righteousness. We want to talk about faith in relationship to what that means in a deeper meaning for you and I today. Not just knowing what is right, not just doing what is right. What I thought righteousness is knowing and doing, it's more than that. It is following, listening to what God has to say and doing what God has to say as God tells me to do what God would have me to do. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, I want to read a passage, just a short scripture there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Jesus makes it very clear. You know, the scribes and Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they had a righteousness that they believed was by works, and so they worked very hard at that. He said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you think that's a very important passage? I believe it is. I believe it's very important for all of us that we take that passage to heart, because it's not just for the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. It's for you and I. What is he saying? What does that mean for you and I in the New Testament as we try to live out Jesus Christ and live out righteousness and live out our faith in what God is telling me to do in light of the Scriptures? Lord, help me today to live in the moment what you would have for me to do today. I want to go to Romans chapter 1, if you would please. Romans chapter 1, and we want to begin reading in verse 14, if you would please. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am obligated both to the Greeks and to the non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am eager, so eager, to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel past. You know, Jesus had already died, resurrected, so I'm not ashamed of the gospel past, because it is the power of God present through that brings salvation to everyone who believes future. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So here Paul is. He comes into Rome, and Rome is a cesspool of iniquity. He's a man who understands what the power of God can do in one's life. Paul was a man who was actually a murderer at heart, but he was a strong man in his faith that he believed in. He was a man who was changed by the gospel, and he believed if he went into Rome with the power of the gospel, then the people in Rome would be changed as well. I think today that a lot of people in the churches have not been changed. They have not been changed because they have no zeal and no power for the gospel. Did you know that it is estimated that 40% of the people on any given Sunday are lost? Let that sink in. And there's a reason for that. And I believe today I want to touch on that. When you look at what Jesus was saying, and Jesus took always, in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he took things a bit deeper, didn't he? He took it into the heart. He took it into the spirit of the human being. But I tell you, do A, B, C, D. But I tell you, A, B, C, D. Jesus went into the soul and to the heart of man. So that's what I want to do today, is try to get into your heart today. There is a righteousness that is revealed. The righteousness of Christ is revealed through the preaching of the gospel. What is that? The righteousness, the person of Jesus is unveiled, unwrapped, so that we begin to see who he really is. The power of God in the person of Jesus that is calling us to do more than we thought we could ever do or be in this world under his power, under his word, under his teaching. Lord, help me today to do what you would have me to do in the moment, that I might have what you'd have for me today. What's he saying? What does that mean to you when I say that? Most of us today, we believe that righteousness is doing what is right. I'm going to memorize the scriptures, and I'm going to do them. And most of the time, we will try to do that under our own effort and under our own power. Because one of the weakest points in our churches today is prayer. And if we are endeavoring to do the gospel and to live out the word of God and to be a righteous people without the power of God and embracing the power of God and looking to the power of God, I want to ask you a question. What's any different than that, than the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? There is a righteousness that God is calling his people to do that is not about you and about me, but is about him. Philip runs up to a chariot. God says, Philip, go to the chariot. And he goes to the chariot. And he gets up on the chariot and he teaches about the gospel of Jesus. He teaches about baptism. He teaches about what this person needs to do to be saved. And he says, here's water. What hindereth me to be baptized? And so he's baptized, right? Why did he do that? Lord, help me to do what you would have me to do in the moment that I might have what you would have for me today. You see, I believe righteousness is more than just memorization, than putting it in our phylactic that we carry on our foreheads and we put it in there and we remember all these things. It is doing, and it is doing as God would have us to do it. Every moment, every minute, every day, not just in memory, not just in fulfilling the do's and the don'ts, not just in looking good in among the people, but following Jesus and doing what he'd have me to do today. How many of us do that? Ask yourself the question, how am I living my life of faith in Jesus and righteousness? How am I living that out? Am I living it out like that? Jesus is a person who wants to speak to me every moment of every day. He wants to lead me every moment of every day in relationship to his word, that I respond in relationship to his word. And Jesus' word, as he leads me, is not going to go against the word of God. It is going to go according to the word of God. As I move and I walk with Jesus, am I moving and walking with him every moment, every day, responding to his word, living out a life that God has called me to live at that moment, at that time, at that day, and living it out in such a way that I receive what Jesus has for me in the moment. I believe the early church was moved a lot by the Holy Spirit. I believe the early church was a group of people that God spoke to. And they heard the voice of God, and Jesus said, those who hear my voice, they are my children. Are we hearing the word of God? Are we listening for the word of God? That we might be a people who are doing right every moment of every day for the glory of Christ, that we might receive what God would have for me today. You say, well, preacher, I worked. I'm not like you. I work. Oh, you can't do that at work. You can't enjoy the things that God has given you in the world. You can't do that. You can't hear the voice of God speaking to you at work. Yes, you can. Well, you don't understand. I have kids at my house, and they're about to drive me up the wall. I deal with that 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. What about you? Well, I did do that, and I listened to God. Let me give you an illustration of listening to God. Oftentimes, God tells us to do something, and we say, I don't do that. I don't do that. That's somebody else's job. Let them do that. Well, what is your job? If you don't do this, if Jesus says, do this, and you say, well, no, that's somebody else's job. Let them do that. How can I say that I'm walking rightly with God? How many times in your life, how many times in this past week have you told God, no, I don't do that. I can't do that. I will not do that. And the Lord has come and he's pricked your mind about something and you said, no, I don't think so. How many of you have been guilty of that this week? You remind me of a bunch of preachers I was preaching to one time in Zambia. I was teaching them about, I said, we're all sinners. We all make mistakes along the way, even in thought sometimes. And I said, so how many of you guys have failed this morning in some form or fashion? And they all sat there and didn't raise their hands. And I said, you know what? You failed. They said, well, what do you mean? I said, you just lied. We all struggle, people. And the sooner we're honest about that and see the truth about ourselves, then the more we'll be able to come to Jesus and receive the healing that we need so that we might hear him, so that we can receive what he has for us today, that we might live out that moment with Jesus. I remember some years ago, we were in Zambia. And I had two young men working with us in Zambia. They were helping us build our house. And they came to me and they said, Mr. Beggarly, they said, you see our brother Chukupa? And I said, yes. You've seen him? I said, yes. We want you to fix him. Chukupa had a very bad cleft palate. His tongue stuck out. His tongue was sunburned. It was bad. His teeth were gone, missing. He was in bad shape. In fact, he tried to go to school. He's 6 years old. They wouldn't allow him to go to school. They stoned him. They made him eat dirt. They beat up on him all the time. He was just a wreck. And they said, Mr. Beggarly, you see our brother Chukupa. We want you to fix him. You know what I said? I don't do that. They said, no, Mr. Beggarly. They said, we want you to fix our brother Chukupa. I said, no, you don't want me to touch your brother. I am not a surgeon. I don't do that. And they said it again, Mr. Beggarly. We want you to fix our brother Chukupa. And I said, I can't believe these guys. They just were persistent. And I said, okay, all right. We'll go as far as the Lord will lead us to go. Because I felt the Lord was leading me to say that. And you know what? Guess what popped into my mind? Our daughter, Annette, worked for a plastic surgeon in Knoxville, Tennessee. Just then, just boom. And I thought, well, we'll call Annette. And so she got a hold of the doctor, and the doctor said, send me a photo. So we sent a photo. And then he comes back and he says, I'll tell you what. He said, I talked to the hospital, and they said that he can stay in the hospital for free. The anesthesiologist, can't say that very well, anesthesiologist, he said that they will do their part for free. And he said, you know what? I will do my part for free if you can get him here. Now, that's 8,000 miles away. I say, what a gift I can't get to. Well, I just happened to think, okay, well, Lord, if that's for free, we've got to get passports for these guys. Do you know that these guys had never been more than 50 miles from their house? They did not have passports, and we had to get passports for them. In fact, we were going to leave the country in 3 months, and it usually takes up to a year to get those passports. And so we made application for the passports, and in just about a month, the guy calls us, come and get this receipt. You'll need a receipt because your passports have been cleared. Unbelievable. Yeah, they were cleared. And so I said, Mindrew, who was Chukupa's dad, I said, Mender, here's the receipt. I'm going to give it to you. We're going to go into town, and we're going to wait in line, and we're going to get our passport. We were so excited about it. We jumped in the truck and went to town, got out of the truck, went upstairs and got in the queue and waited and waited and waited. And we got close, and I said, Mender, do you have the receipt? He said, hey, no, Mr. Begley, I don't have it. I said, Mender, you've got to have it. And he was beating himself like he was being stung with bees. All bang, 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 bang. He said, Mr. Bigley, I can't find it. I can't find it. I said, Mender, you got to find it. I said, Mender, I'll go back down the stairs and I'll go back out in the road and back to the truck and I'll come back up the stairs. And you've got to find it by then because I'm looking down there to see if I can find it. And it wasn't there anywhere.
And I came back up and I said, Mender, did you find it? He said, no, Mr. Begley, I haven't found it. I said, Mender, I'll go back down the stairs one more time and go out the door and go back to the truck. Now, in the capital city of Lusaka, there's paper blowing everywhere. It is trash city, okay? In those days, it was trash city. And I stepped out the door, and there to my left was a little bitty piece of paper. Come on now, people. A little bitty piece of paper. And it was wrapped up like this. And I reached down there and picked it up, and guess what? It was that receipt. It was. I'm telling you. I don't do that, you see. I don't fix those things. And so we went back upstairs, and the very person that signed every passport in Zimbabwe handed us the passport. Thank you, Helen. Handed us a passport and said, Mr. Begley, thank you for caring for our people. He said, I wanted to make sure that I handed you this passport for these two guys, for the father and the son. He said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, help me to live in the moment what you'd have me to do today. It was time to get visas from Andrew and Chukupa. We go into the American consulate. We sat down there. He says, well, Mr. Begley, I hear this is what you want to do. I said, yeah, this is what we want to do. He said, well, Mr. Begley, I'm sorry. He said, tell me, how many children does he have? I said, 8. This is number 9. He says, no way. He says, I can't let you have that. He said, well, okay. He said, what does he do for a living? I said, well, he's a farmer. He said, No, he did. He said, there's no way I can let you have a visa for these two guys. They'll go over there and they'll run away and they'll get lost in the crowd. Well, I mean, that makes sense. And then he said, but. Now, but can be a good word, but can be a bad word. It just depends on what end you're on. And guess what? We were on the good end that day. He said, but, Mr. Begley, if you'll take full responsibility, I'll let him go. Praise God. Huh? Is that not the God we serve? That is the God we serve. And I remember one day we were sitting at the house and I said, Mender, we were back behind the house and I said, Mender, see that plane going overhead? He said, yeah, Mr. Begley. Yeah, I see it. I see it. I said, how many people do you think we can get in there? He said, 5. I said, Mender, I said, there's going to be about 450 people in that plane. And I believe God's going to take us there. And God's going to get us to America so that your son's face can be fixed. He said, are you sure, Mr. Begley? I said, I'm sure. He said, are you sure? I'm not acting out. That's the way he did it. And are you sure? He was so excited. And I said, yes. I believe with all my heart that God is going to take us there. I didn't have $4,000 in my pocket to buy plane tickets. But Helen had a mother in Orleans, Indiana, Paoli, Indiana. So we call up Helen's mother, and guess what she does? She's got a lot of friends, 80-some years old, I guess, at the time. She's got a lot of friends, so she calls her friends up. Guess what? In just about a week, we got what? $3,000-$4,000 to pay for those plane tickets. I thought, man, we are on a roll. Let's go into to the British Airways, and let's go for broke. Let's go for free. So we go in there and we sit down, and this lady says, Mr. Begley, I know what you want. I said, yeah, I want free. She said, I can't give you free. She said, if I gave you free, everybody in town would be coming. I said, but I can give you half price. I said, I'll take half price today. And we got the tickets, and we got the visas, and we got the passports. And we're going to America. I don't do that, you see. That's not what I do. And so Helen, being a woman, she said, you know what? She said, this little guy is used to whizzing all kinds of trees and never having to stop and go to a bathroom. He just, you know, Africa's free. So when you got to go to the bathroom, you're free. And she said, you know, this little guy hasn't had to wait in a queue or line, and especially to get in one of those little boxes you get in on the airplane. How many of you have been in one of those little boxes on airplane? Oh, look at the hands go up. Yeah, yeah. You've been in one of those little boxes, and sometimes you got to wait in the line. And you're waiting, right? This little guy had to learn to wait. Helen says, you know, we need to take him 3 or 4 changes of clothes because he's not going to be able to wait. And sure enough, he used them all. And we got to the United States, landed there, had his surgery. They were so good. The University of Tennessee Hospital was so good. And I remember walking into the room with Mendrew, Chakupa's dad, and Chakupa's there. And Mendrew was bawling his eyes out. He had his son wrapped around him, and he was bawling. He was bawling. He said, Mr. Beggarly, I have a son now. The surgery that man did, he did in 2 settings that sometimes takes 3. He did in 1 setting that sometimes takes 3. A $30,000, $35,000 surgery for free. I don't do that, you see. It come time for Mendrew to go home and Chakupa. We couldn't go back. And I thought, man, Lord, these guys have got to go home by themselves 8,000 miles away. They got to change planes. And you know what Mendrew said? He said, "Ah, Mr. Beggarly, don't worry." He said, "God brought us here. God will get us home." Well, you talk about a lesson. You talk about a lesson. Well, we had to leave, and we weren't able to go back with Mendrew and Chakupa, but there were some missionaries left there that were going to pick Mendrew and Chakupa up at the airport. And I said, "Mendrew, when you meet your wife, what kind of greeting will you give her?" And he said, "Well, Mr. Beggarly," he said, "we will shake hands." I said, "I got that. Okay, got that." Now, when Mendrew and Chakupa left, the wife in her mind was sending her husband and her son off to never be seen again. That's how she saw it. So I said to the other missionary, I said, "So what was the greeting like when Mendrew saw his wife and Chakupa saw his mother?" He said, "Well, when she saw her son and her husband, she took off running. And she ran as hard and as fast as she could run. And she grabbed them and kissed them all over the face. And they hugged and embraced. That young man has a life. You see, I don't do that. Get somebody else." Righteousness is more than memorizing the word and living out the word of God under our own power. It is living every moment of every day, receiving what God has for me at that moment and time in reference to the word of God. You notice I keep going back to that. It is God who is leading us through His Word, through His Son, the Word, through the Bible, the Word of God. And He wants every one of us to stand up and to be counted for Him. Whether you do that or not, stand up and say, "Yes, I don't do that, Lord, but You called me and I don't know how to do it. But Lord, help me do it." Because the world is going to hell in a handbag, and the devil has the handbag. the early church, I believe, lived this way. And we are missing it. The joy of seeing the power of God taking us on a journey every day of our lives to receive what He'd have for us today, that He might lead us not only today, but into an eternity. Is that you? Is that me? Where do you stand with what God has said to us today?